the great opportunities provided for us. This whole process, I think, is to learn more about our faith, to learn more about a papal election. That's what's happening at good Catholic schools across the country. We enjoy the Newman News Tuesdays with Kelly Solomon. She's a vice president of the Newman Guide Programs. And our topic this morning, Catholic schools educating on the papacy and the conclave. And Kelly, the pictures you sent are absolutely wonderful. And you found awesome. Several schools. I mean, I'm sure there's more. There's probably a ton, but there's quite a few unique educational activities going on. Thanks for joining us. So do explain.
Sure. Thanks so much for having me on, Teresa. I love Tuesday mornings with you talking about the latest in the Newman Guide, the latest in Catholic education, and what a special and important week we have here in the life of the church. And Catholic educators would be remiss to not share our Catholic heritage, our Catholic culture, what's going on in the church with their students. And sharing about the papal conclave is a great opportunity for Catholic educators this week.
So what did you find?
Sure. So one great example, Teresa, you know, many of your listeners know that the Newman Guide recommends faithful Catholic colleges. But in 2023, as we've talked about, we began expanding our Newman Guide to also include Catholic elementary and secondary schools in the Newman Guide. And so I want to highlight a few of these schools that are just doing a great job with creative ways of sharing with students about, praying for the soul of Pope Francis, and then sharing all of the details about the papal conclave. So St. Agnes School in St. Paul, Minnesota has been around for a long time, since 1888. They educate pre-K through 12th grade students. They have more than 800 students. They also have some of the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist at the school, which is wonderful. They even have 5 alumni currently in major seminary. So they're clearly doing great things at this school. And what they did with the papal conclave is their pastor put on a whole PowerPoint session for their upper school and then a separate one for their lower school. And he walked them through all of this information. I learned so much from reading his PowerPoint, from the history of papal conclaves to the length of conclaves to the ages of the current cardinals, where they live geographically, what is it about the secrecy of the conclave, et cetera, et cetera. Teresa, you might have seen in one of the pictures I sent you that these students, there's even more. You can see that they're happy and excited listening to their pastor's presentation. He did some unique things to bring them into it. He brought up how, you know, any man technically could be elected pope. It doesn't have to be a cardinal technically. And so he jokingly, you know, put up a picture of one of the faculty, male faculty members, and a picture in an outfit of the pope, right, and said, could this be our next pope, right? Made the students laugh. It made it lighthearted, but invited them into this process of, you know, that all these Catholic students are really invited to pray and to follow the church this week.
That is so exciting. I love that. And, you know, the fact that it's so true that a Catholic man doesn't have to be a bishop or a pope. I was just talking in the previous segment about the fact that Pope Gregory the X was a deacon. He wasn't a bishop or a cardinal. So you don't have to be someone in the hierarchy in order to be elected pope. Okay, St. Agnes, now where do we go next?
Okay, let's bring you over to New Mexico. Holy Child Catholic School is a pre-K to 8th grade school. They are wonderful. They have daily mass for all students, 100% Catholic faculty and students, an impressive fine arts program. And they're really tapping into that this week by having students view and learn about sacred art that helps them reflect on what's going on in the life of the church. So, you know, Michelangelo's Last Judgment, right? Let's bring them to the Sistine Chapel and let's learn about those last four things, death, judgment, heaven, and hell. As a great way to learn about what the cardinals are doing this week and also to remember to pray for the soul of Pope Francis. They also have black garments draped over each classroom door with the papal crest of Pope Francis to remind students to pray for his soul. They're also spending time learning new Latin terms this week, like Habemus Papam. And they have a first grade class that processes to the front office each morning, praying and chanting prayers for the soul of Pope Francis and praying for his successor. Teresa, you might have seen that picture of the the doors, those classroom doors with the black garments draped over them, and how it's just a great reminder of what's going on in the church right now this week, and educating students from a very young age. How wonderful to have these young students from all over the country praying for the soul of our Pope Francis and praying for the Holy Spirit to guide the church.
This is awesome. And if you're just joining us, of course, it is a Tuesday morning. We're talking with Kelly Solomon from, of course, the Cardinal Newman Society. We bring Kelly on every week for Newman News, and she is the vice president of the Newman Guide programs. We're talking about how schools across the U.S. are educating students, and probably I would think the administrators educating each other as well on the process of electing a new pope. And I'm wondering, Kelly, and we've always found this to be true, especially when you have incredible instructors such as the Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, who are phenomenal, that so many parents who send their kids, their children to these solid Catholic schools end up getting fired up again about their faith or learning something they didn't know. Do you find that to be true?
Oh, absolutely. You know, this is why we want Catholic parents to know about the faithful schools that we recommend in the Newman Guide, why we want more Catholic schools across the country to apply to be in the Newman Guide so that Catholic families can be aware that this school is strong in its Catholic identity and is imparting this Catholic worldview, this Catholic understanding of the person to young people. And, you know, as a child comes home and tells their parents, you know, we're praying for the soul of Pope Francis. We're learning about how they must pop him. We're preparing for our Pope party we're going to have when the new Pope is elected. Surely that has an impact on Catholic parents and praying that that deepens their faith and their understanding of the church as well.
How enjoyable is it for you to learn of these stories that are going on?
Oh, I love this. This is such a great part of my job. You know, we bring together educators through our Newman Network. It's our online platform that allows for meetings and collaboration among all of the educators we recommend in the Newman Guide. So all of the school principals and superintendents and even all of the college leaders and presidents and other leaders, and they can interact and share best practices and ideas on this Newman Network. And it's a great opportunity for them to just collaborate. And I love being a part of this Newman Network and hearing from other educators. It's really one of the great perks of them being in the Newman Guide that, you know, something like the papal election comes up and they can tap into other great educators across the country and learn of what they're doing and put it into place in their school.
Yeah, that's fabulous. All right, Kelly, hang on. We're going to come back and talk more about the election of the new pope and the great obvious opportunities to be educated ourselves and when we help others learn about the faith as well. It is a Tuesday morning, and you are listening to Catholic Connection, which is a production of EWTN. We are live in Rome. Very exciting. I was down at St. Peter's Square again this morning and looking around and taking some photos. I did a quick video there, which we will post on Facebook. Now, all of the main activity, of course, is being focused on St. Peter's and on the Sistine Chapel. The Sistine Chapel is closed off to the public. The actual conclave doesn't begin until tomorrow, May 7th. But prior to the conclave, there have been an awful lot of what they call congregations and gatherings of the cardinals who are hearing all sorts of talks on all sorts of topics. Now, the official topic of education didn't come up, but certainly young people came up and evangelization to those young people. And that's something to which Kelly can relate. And we'll talk more when we come back and wrap up a Tuesday morning edition live from Rome, covering the conclave on Catholic Connection. Stay tuned. Having a lot of fun talking with Kelly Solomon, as we always do, fun and filled with information. She is doing that for us every week when it comes to Catholic education. Kelly Solomon is a vice president of the Newman Guide Program's topic, how Catholic schools are educating on the papacy and the conclave, and some really cool ideas that schools are incorporating. And so, Kelly, I can only imagine you probably had to narrow this down. Now, did we go through all three that you gave me? I'm trying to remember.
Yes, so there's one more, Teresa, that I'd love to bring up. It's Our Lady of Mount Carmel.
Sure.
It is located in Newport News, Virginia. It's recommended in the Newman Guide. It's a pre-K through 8th grade school, really solid Catholic curriculum at this school. And I talked to their principal there, and she told me how the different classes did some research on all the different cardinals that are taking part in the conclave. And they chose a particular cardinal to adopt each class and pray for, in particular this week. And I love that idea of spiritually adopting a cardinal and keeping them in their prayers. The principal is also including tidbits in announcements and newsletters to keep Catholic parents informed about what's going on and ways that they can share this information with their kids at home. And they are planning to have a Pope party as soon as a new Holy Father is announced.
That sounds like fun. I want to go to the Pope party. Well, that sounds
like
a lot.
Well, I think he will be having one over there in Rome, Teresa. We're so
yes, we will. I have to say, but I think it would be it'd be great to be with the kids because I'm sure they would have a completely unique perspective. So let's talk also, Kelly, just from your perspective as a parent, how have you been helping your kids try to understand about the conclave?
Yes, you know, I purchased a book called We Have a Pope. It's published by Holy Heroes, and I've been reading that to my kids. I'm also sharing tidbits of information from that great PowerPoint that St. Agnes School put together and presented it to both their lower school and their upper school from their pastor, and sharing that information with my kids. And I just think that, you know, Catholic education, we really need to be sharing about the life of the church, our culture, our history, because part of Catholic education is imparting a Christian understanding of the human person. You know, the Cardinal Newman Society, we highlight those elements that the church expects to find in all Catholic schools. We call them our five principles of Catholic identity in education. And the fifth one is imparting a Christian understanding of the human person. And I think sharing about our world, our life, our culture, our Catholic heritage, when these events come up in the life of the church, they don't come up all that often, right? And what a great opportunity to bring young people in and share that excitement with them and know that they can play a role in this with their prayers and with their participation in staying tuned with everything going on in Rome.
You know, it is fascinating. And when you come here to Italy, and I was just talking about this in the segment before we brought you on for our Newman News, I was talking about being in these historic places, and many people who come, obviously, to Italy, there's always tourists and whatnot, but I wonder how many of us really stop and think about the history that's here with the church, that the church goes back 2,000-plus years. Obviously, it started in Israel with Jesus and Peter, but Peter dying here, of course, and being hanged upside down, and, I mean, the story after story of St. Paul and all the other saints that have gone before us, but the papal history, the history in general, is something of which to be excited about and also proud of.
It is. You know, and I pray that our young Catholic people can go to Rome someday and experience it themselves. I know my husband and I actually went to Rome on our honeymoon and were able to be blessed by Pope Francis. So that's a very special memory for me personally. And, you know, we hope to bring our kids someday so that they can experience the heart of the church and go into that Sistine Chapel and see, yes, I remember learning about the new Pope, you know, being elected in that in that Sistine Chapel. And, you know, I'm so grateful for the great Catholic schools that are passing on this Catholic history and heritage. It's not something you're going to find in public schools. It's not something, unfortunately, you're going to even find in some lukewarm Catholic schools that aren't proud and aren't truly embracing their strong Catholic identity.
Absolutely. In terms of other projects that you're working on right now to encapsulate those wonderful principles that you have, obviously there's a lot of really neat educational opportunities related to the conclave. What would you say are some of the big stories as we head into the summer of 2025?
Sure. So, Teresa, I know last week I talked with Vanessa, who was filling in on your show about Catholic college commencement speakers. So in the higher ed world, it's all commencement season, and you know, looking at the speakers of who Catholic colleges are honoring is a great way to learn more about a Catholic college's priorities and who they're choosing to honor. We also took a deep dive into the latest Catholic school enrollment data that just came out from the National Catholic Education Association. Teresa, that'd be great to dive in on one of our Newman Guide news segments 1 week and just look at the history of, you know, unfortunately, Catholic school enrollment has gone down millions since the 1950s, 1960s, and what can we do to reverse some of these troubling trends?
Well, let's talk a little bit. I know we can't dive into it that deeply, but we have a few minutes, and I think that's super important because, you know, we're talking about the beauty and the history of the faith, and it saddens me as someone who's a product of Catholic schools that this is being lost in some ways. Although the interesting thing is there's a lot of new evangelization going on here in Europe where we have so many people from Great Britain coming into the church and others in France doing the same thing. But in terms of the decline, can you give us just a little overview, because we'll probably dive into this next week.
Sure.
What has been going on, do you think, to lead to that decline?
Sure. You know, there's a number of different factors that have led into the decline, but, you know, Catholic school enrollment was over 5 million, you know, back in the 1960s, and we're down to, I believe, about 1.7 million students in Catholic schools today. And so, you know, if the church is about evangelization, if that's, you know, how are we doing that with Catholic schools should be serving as a primary means of that evangelization. Of course, partnering with parents as the primary educators. But how are we going to form and raise up our young people and teach them how the Catholic faith influences all subject areas, all insights, with so many Catholics not in Catholic schools? Now, of course, cost is a huge factor. The lackluster, lukewarm Catholic identity in many of our Catholic schools is a factor. Some bright lights that we do see is some new independent lay-run Catholic schools that are springing up. We see many parochial schools returning to their roots and embracing strong Catholic standards like those the Cardinal Newman Society puts out. We also have seen an increase in Catholic homeschooling and hybrid models. And so, So the Cardinal Newman Society wants to work in any way possible to make Catholic education accessible and faithful for every Catholic family who wants it.
Yeah, give us the resources again, too, because it's super important to give those links out.
Sure. If you go to cardinalnewmansociety.org, cardinalnewmansociety.org, you'll see our president, Patrick Riley, posted a whole article on the latest National Catholic Education Association numbers on this enrollment data, and he proposes some solutions, some path forwards for parents and for educators to take a look at of how we can provide a good Catholic education for every student. And again, stay tuned to our, you know, our email and our social media. We'll be sure to share. Thank you, Teresa, for your coverage of the papal conclave. You had a great interview on Fox News, and you're a great resource to point our schools to know what's going on over in Rome.
Well, you know, it really is. It's a joy for me. And I was speaking on one of the local Catholic stations in my hometown of Michigan this morning and talking about how open the secular media are, Kelly. And I don't know if it's because there's a different attitude since the election where people feel a little bit freer to speak out, mm-hmm. because this administration has been much more open to religious people allowing to express themselves. Yep. And the president, you know, despite some of the things that he's done, including the thing with the Pope image, I didn't like that at all. But overall, mm-hmm. he has been very supportive of religious freedom and prayer, especially on the National Day of Prayer last week, talking about this will always be In God We Trust, United States of America. So I'm wondering if that has something to do with the media, who are open to hearing about things in great detail. I mean, I'm going on and on. Yesterday I was on a big talk station and I was talking about the Holy Spirit. This is a secular station. And they were talking about the process. Well, explain the process. And I said, well, it's a faith process. It's a spiritual process. I mean, there are technical things that they have to do in terms of the type of chemical they use or the black smoke to come out or whatever. I said, but this is a spiritual process. And they seemed very open to hearing about that.
That's awesome. Well, I think more, you know, a lot of the young people I talk with are drawn to tradition and liturgy and a revival of the sacred, that they, when there's something otherworldly, right, there's an attraction there of there's something greater than what's right here in front of us on this earth, that what we're doing in the Catholic Church points to eternity. And that's really what it's all about. And, well, that's great, Teresa. I'm so glad you're having that experience, and pray for lots more opportunities to share with the whole world about the beauty and truth of the Catholic Church through this papal conclave process.
Absolutely. It's all an opportunity for evangelization. If you've been explaining so well this morning, Kelly, with those schools who are doing such a great job of bringing it home for the students, and I hope they're getting a lot of this and hope those schools are doing a good job on social media, because that too, when you share cute stories like that, especially involving children, that's so like uplifting to see the little kids doing things. I can remember years ago when we were doing a fundraiser for local Catholic radio. It was on All Saints Day, and we were in a location where there was a Montessori school, and the kids would all dress up as saints for Halloween or All Saints Day, and they would come through the radio station, and you would see Saint, you know, Faustina, St. Padre Pio. It was just absolutely adorable and so uplifting. So let's encourage all those schools out there, if you're doing something to talk about the Pope and to teach your kids about the Pope, take the pictures. Share it with me, share it with Kelly, but make sure you share it on your Facebook page, right? All right, my dear, we're going to let you go. We look forward to talking with you next week. And you know what? We're going to, God willing, we'll have a new Pope by then. What do you think?
Praying for it, and can't wait to hear the news. And I'll have to share some pictures from the Pope parties with you maybe next week, Teresa, from these great Catholic schools in the Newman Guide.
That is so exciting. All right, give us your website one more time before we let you go.
CardinalNewmanSociety.org, CardinalNewmanSociety.org. Thanks so much for having me on, Teresa.
You are welcome. A fun and fascinating segment, both segments actually, with Kelly Solomon from the Newman Guide, Cardinal Newman Society, and she joins us for Newman News on Tuesday. Okay.